Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business and economic issues affecting mid-Missouri. I'm Ryan from Mueliner. Coming up later in the show, this week's Harvest Public Media report tells us about rootworm. The tiny pests are wreaking havoc in fields in the Midwest, even after farmers have taken precautions specifically to ward them off. And Clay Masters will explain switching to another crop doesn't really make financial sense these days. But first, Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis has issued his written State of the City address to the City Council. In it, he spoke a lot about the local economy. His report discussed the increasing rate of poverty and income inequality in Columbia, even though the unemployment rate is well below state and national averages. Mathis spoke with KBIA's Dan Malloy about the State of the City address. Here's a small portion of that conversation.
I think that things are getting better in general. We have, you know, significant issues to deal with. I don't want to be Pollyannish about it, but taken all in all, things are getting better in the economy.
You noted that sales taxes are up, and that is good for business, but poverty is also increasing. Do you think the middle class is shrinking, and what can be done about that?
Yes. Factually speaking, the middle class is smaller than it used to be, and, you know, That's a troubling trend. You kind of want that to be the opposite direction. So, you know, we have to get down to the bottom of why that is. Did those folks move to the more highly compensated, the wealthy section, or did they move into poverty? And so what it appears to be is that they've moved toward poverty. That's one of our issues we need to address head on.
With decreasing support from the federal and state support programs, where will new relief come from, if anywhere?
Well, it's a great question. It doesn't look like it's going to be coming from the federal or state level, does it? So what we have to do is sit down and think through in a strategic way, you know, what are the facts that confront us and what can we do to, you know, minimize the worst of those impacts on the community. The City Council is going to be doing just that very soon. Their retreat coming up next week will be focused entirely on strategic planning.
On the subject of jobs, you know that in the past decade, retail jobs have increased while manufacturing has decreased significantly. Mm-hmm. Why the change?
Well, I think there are big picture reasons for the change. You know, international pressures, national pressures on manufacturing. Although there are hopeful signs that that is turning around, coming back. And there are local issues, too. I mean, we do not have a long list of economic development tools. So that's one lack that we feel intensely.
Corn has been good to farmers, helping fuel a boom in the ag sector. And as this year's record corn forecast indicates, Midwestern farmers can't seem to plant enough of the grain. Even with concerns growing about the effectiveness of today's high-tech, genetically engineered seeds, farmers aren't backing down. Clay Masters reports for Harvest Public Media.
The land is dry and the wind blows hard in Sac County, Iowa. And for Darwin Bettine, it's a good day to be inside selling insurance. He also farms 500 acres of corn and soybeans here in western Iowa.
It seemed like just about the day I took this job selling insurance, the farm turned around and got good also, and so it's the way it's been.
Bettine was born and raised here in Sac County, and while this year's crop is planted, he feels some anxiety because of what happened last year.
And the neighbor's corn was standing up and mine was kind of leaning over. I just jokingly told my wife, I said, well, if we wouldn't have this new fancy corn, I'd say that looks like rootworm damage.
After a closer look, it was rootworm damage. The fancy corn, as Bettine puts it, is BT corn, a seed which is engineered to express a trait that is supposed to kill the rootworm when it eats at the plant's roots. Bettine gets his seed from his local dealer and says while they refund him the fees for inserting the trait into the seed, they don't pay off the money he loses from the rootworm damage.
80 acres equals $100,000, but, you know, then they refund their $13,000 worth of tech fees and walk away from the other $96,000.
Still, Bettine is planting BT corn on corn again this year, and while he and other farmers are concerned about their yields and profits, researchers who study corn rootworm are honed in on the long-term effects. That's because the rootworm resistance has been showing up in parts of Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota. In March, 22 scientists wrote a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency with a sense of urgency. They called for big changes in the way biotech companies and seed dealers battle the bug.
There was concern about what this resistance might mean for other commercialized BT products.
That's Iowa State's Aaron Gassman, one of the scientists who signed the letter. At his lab on Iowa State's campus, Gassman opens a door to a temperature-controlled greenhouse lab. Inside are a series of lamps suspended above silver funnels. This is one of the final steps of the research he does on corn rootworm.
We take the soil, the roots, and the larvae and put them into these containers.
Basically, this is where they'll find out the level of rootworm survival. They're running tests on a variety of seeds from different companies. But ag giant Monsanto's seed is the one that's shown the resistance, partly, Gassman says, because it's been on the market the longest. In 2003, it was the first BT seed on the market. Since then, these seeds have become such an intricate part of corn farming that it's hard to find seeds that don't have some kind of BT technology.
People need to be more careful about how these products are used, and they need to be used in a more integrated way, in other words, with a variety of tactics, and farmers shouldn't just be relying on this same tactic year after year to control their pests.
Options. That's what the scientists say farmers need from tech companies, so don't insert the trait in all of the products. But Luke Samuel, a product development manager at Monsanto, says farmers do have choices.
As we look at, you know, our product lineup, we feel very good about growers having the choice to really fit the best product on their acres.
Samuel and Gassman at Iowa State both agree that rotating corn to soybeans is probably the best solution to a rootworm infestation. Rootworms can't survive on soybeans. But planting less corn, that can be a tough sell. 5 miles west of Darwin Bateen's farm in Sac County, Russ Pickenkey farms 2,000 acres and has for more than 20 years. And he hasn't seen the rootworm problem on any of his acres. But Pickenkey is considering adding granule insecticide, an older method of insect control, to his cornfields next year, in addition to using the BT corn, just for a sense of insurance.
You make more money on corn the last 3 years, you know. It's kind of a no-brainer to do corn on corn. And the market seems to want more corn, you know. China's growing, you know, and they can't seem to produce enough corn to keep their, you know, their supply happy.
So no matter the warnings from the scientists, farmers are thinking just as much about the market as the bug. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Clay Masters.
That's this week's Business Beat. I'm Ryan Familiner. Thanks for listening.